The title of this message is Hearing Hope Clearly. And when I say hearing hope, I'm not talking about the type of hope that we have, like, well, I hope to get a hamburger after church. That's more like wishing. I'm talking about the biblical hope and hopes that are found in Scripture. And this message is for me, but since it's for me, I figured I'd share it with you, because I always ask the Lord, what is it that, what areas maybe aren't clear? And so as he ministers to me, I'll share it with you. I take the comfort that's given to me to share with you. So I've got 6 points to bring out in this message, and we're going to cover 6 different areas. First, you must have hope before you can have faith. You believe that? Because otherwise, okay, I'm going to have faith. Faith in what? I got to have something that's presented there. What is hope? Number 3, faith rises up when hope or promise is heard. Hearing, believing, and responding in obedience will produce some faith. Not everyone who hears believes. Examples of hope, and how do we see hope more clearly? To me, as Kirk and Ted were going through the book of Hebrews and hit on Chapter 11, verse 1, faith is a substance of things hoped for. That began to resonate with me, and I really began to think of it because I've shared before as I preach, I personally have a hard time picturing heaven. I do. Can you see Rayo playing guitar or harp? That doesn't work. I've been working all my life. Am I going to be set up to fix things? Hopefully there won't be broken things in heaven. But in my mind, the type of mind and brain that I have and the things that have occurred in my life just make it harder for me. And so I started looking at this and I thought, you know, do I really see hope as clearly as it should be in Scripture? And then it went beyond that. Well, what about in other areas that God gives us some hope? I'm going to jump ahead. One of the scriptures I have is that he's given us his precious promises, that through those we can become partakers of his divine nature and escape the corruption that's through lust. Do we really see the hope of that? Because we're walking along struggling, and sometimes with the same issues, sometimes month after month, sometimes year after year. I think if we begin to see and take a look at what he has really given us, drawing close to him, things begin to change in the heart. And we begin to grab a hold of them, not because we've generated faith. And some people might disagree with this, but there's a difference between belief and faith. I believe God can move a mountain. But at this point, I don't have faith to do that. So what I'm trying to say is that as we allow God to make his word, his hope, clear in our hearts, that we will be more ready to respond when he says, tell that mountain to get out of the way, because you won't have to go, I'm believing. No, because it rises from something that he does when that hope takes root in your heart. You just know that's going to happen. Healing. I believe God heals. I believe he's made it a provision on salvation. Isaiah 53, by his stripes we're healed. I believe that. As I'm getting over a cold. I believe that as other things have happened. But that belief is not necessarily faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, so you got to have a clear hope for that faith to rise up. So I already quoted Hebrews 11:1. The Amplified, it says, it's the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for. It's the proof of the things we do not see and conviction of the reality. It's not struggling to say, okay, I think God can do this. I think God can do this. Because when you have that, it's more of a wishful thinking than having a true hope that's come to light. Before I got saved, I was hopeless. I was addicted to sniffing glue and other hallucinogens for 6 years, and I could not quit. But God works in funny ways, because though I was hopeless, he began to instill hope in me through weird conversations and the hiding place. Testimonies of him moving in fairly current times in people's lives, and my heart cried out, if you can do that for them, why can't you do it for me? Started reading the Bible. But you know what God was doing? He was bringing hope into focus, so that on that night that I walked into Abilute Church, and they said it at the end of it, anybody here want to ask Jesus? But something inside of me said, I need this. This is real. But God worked the hope in me. And so we're going to get to some of that. So what is hope? A couple definitions. And these are not the Webster's. These are from biblical commentaries, that which constitutes the cause or reason for hoping. You've got something presented before you. Another one said, hope is based on the divine promise and leaves behind it any uncertainty. Paul said, promises in Christ are yea and amen. He gives certainty. We don't always see him clearly because of our upbringing, our shortcomings, the sin that's been in our life that's colored our worldview, because we're having our minds transformed and renewed by the Word of God. And that's kind of what this is talking about too. That hope coming into focus is by having our minds transformed by his Word, so that we can see what he's given us. If we really could see and understand what he's given us, would the church be where it's at today? Would the church have the same divorce rate as the world? No, because his promises are, I give you everything you need for life and godliness. He either means he's given us everything we need, and we're not listening. We're not seeing. We're not hearing. We need to hear his hope. In Acts 2:26, this prophetic word is actually talking about Jesus. Therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad. Moreover also, my flesh shall rest in hope, because you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. And this spoke about the resurrection of Christ. I can't picture Jesus, the Eternal One, coming and then having to die. But he had a hope. He said, I know my Father. My flesh is going to come out of this. It was clear to him. So let's talk about Jesus, the Son of God. It's clear to him in Romans 15:13. May God, the source of hope, fill you with all joy and peace by means of your faith in him, so that your hope will continue to grow by the power of the Holy Spirit. I like the King James. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound or superabound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That word in believing, one of the commentators said it's interpreted in the sphere of the act of habitual believing. So now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in the sphere of the act of habitually believing, because you see it before you. You keep grabbing hold of it. The word, because God himself is a God of hope, and the Holy Spirit works with us too. So you got two good sources. How's the Holy Spirit do that? 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. I think that's all I need to read out of that portion. The things that we need to know that are freely given to us, the Holy Spirit wants to speak those things into our lives. Are we listening? Are we hearing him? Do we hear it partially? Are we willing to say, Lord, you know, I need to see what you're saying here, because I feel a little squeamish, like you want me to change. I'm not sure I want to. Well, if you look at the true hope in Scripture, you're already dead. So why do you have feelings? Dead men don't have feelings. Am I totally dead? No. I should be. I see the promise that I can live in a new resurrection lifestyle. But sometimes there's things in here and in here that don't line up with here. And so sometimes the things don't take place right away. I call this generation a microwave generation. And I see it with, and so some of you are probably doing, I'm not quite that way, because I hate some of the technology. I'm a dinosaur. My phone's back there in my briefcase. But it's like, somebody text. Oh, got to answer it. We want answers now. I want this now. Oh, God said I can be healed. I want it now. Well, it doesn't always work that way. And we're going to see that. Okay, point three, faith rises when the hope or promise is heard. Romans 10:14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can they preach unless they're sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who's believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. You got to have a message to have hope. I figure that one scripture just kind of says it all. There's more to verify that, but we'll move on to point four, where not everyone who hears believes. In Hebrews 4:2, we have heard the message just as they did, but they failed to believe what they heard. And the message did not do them any good. Only people who have faith will enter the place of rest. This means that the promise to enter is still good because those who first heard about it disobeyed and did not enter. So the children of Israel heard the word of God, what he wanted them to do. They didn't believe it. They disobeyed. In fact, in Exodus 6, verse 6, Moses is told to go talk to the Israelites and tell them these words. I'm the Lord. I'll bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people. I'll be your God. Then you'll know I'm the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I'm the Lord. Isn't that great? But they did not listen because of their discouragement and cruel bondage. I kicked myself for 6 years because I did not, there was cruel bondage. And so God had to bring in clear hope for me. Nobody ever shared the gospel with me. He did this whole thing with me just for me. And he'll do it for you. Whatever it is that you need to overcome the things that are sitting in your heart that keep you from seeing clearly. He desires to work with us to have us be a people of hope. And not only of hope, but because we see hope, we have faith rising up in our hearts. In Romans 10, continuing after faith comes by hearing the message of Christ, but I asked, did they not hear? Yeah, they did. Verse 19, didn't Israel understand? And Moses says, I'll make you envious by those who are not a nation, make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. Isaiah says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long, I've held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. They didn't want to hear. So, we'll get on to some examples of hope. they're not up on the screen, but Jeremiah 29, 10 through 14, Jeremiah is saying, this is what the Lord says, Babylon will be powerful for 70 years. After that time, I will come to you, and I will keep my promise to bring you back to Jerusalem. I say this because I know what I'm planning for you, says the Lord. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you hope and a good future. Then you'll call my name. You'll come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You'll search for me, and when you search for me with all your heart, you'll find me. So the children of Israel had gone into captivity, and God sends Jeremiah, and he says, tell them it's going to be 70 years, but then I'm going to bring you out. You've got some punishment, but there's some hope. Now, 70 years is a long time. I was 1 year old at that time, 70 years ago. I was in Finland. No hope because I didn't understand anything. But then in Zechariah, he's talking, there's a section, it's a prophetic word about see your king comes to you riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He'll proclaim peace to nations. But verse 12 says, return to your fortress or stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Even now I announce I will restore twice as much to you. Because for 70 years, some believed, some didn't. They had this hope. God said, 70 years, and we're going back. Prisoners of hope. That's really what I want us to become. Prisoners of hope. That when God says something, it begins to stir within us, and even if we don't see it take place immediately, that our hearts receive just that knowledge that that's the way it is. It's going to take place. Abraham is an example. God told him, we're going to get you out of Ur of Chaldees. I'm going to set you up. You're going to have your seed is going to do this. Only took 30 years. Oh, wait a minute. God wouldn't give me a hope that I have to wait 30 years for. He might. But Abraham hung in there. Joseph, I'm approximating his age because the scriptures talk about him being 17, his father making a robe of many colors, and then he gives a bad report about his brothers. So sometime after that, we know the story. He goes and his brothers sell him off. Ends up in Egypt. He ends up rising up in Potiphar's house. And then the wife wants to sleep with him, and he says, no, I can't sin against God. He gets thrown in jail. He interprets the two servants of the king, and they forget about, well, one dies and the other one forgets for a couple years. Roughly 22 years from the time he got sold till his dad came and met him in front of Pharaoh. How would you hold up? There was something in his heart. I mean, here he is. Okay, you're sold as a slave. hey, the boss's wife wants to sleep with you. Well, I'm just a slave anyhow. Everything else has gone bad. Might as well. No, he didn't. He said, I can't sin against God. There was something in his heart. I believe he's a prisoner of hope. Something to do with a dream about his brothers bowing down before him. He got to see it come to pass. David, roughly around 18 years old when he got anointed by Samuel. He was 30 when he began to reign. 12 years of running around with Saul trying to kill him. Oh, but I'm the anointed one. He didn't try and do anything to Saul because he understood God's got a timing at hand, but this is what he has given me. It will take place, but I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. So how do we see more clearly? Isaiah 57:10. You were wearied by all your ways, but you would not say it's hopeless. You found renewal of your strength, and so you did not faint. Whom have you so dreaded and feared that you've been false to me and have neither remembered nor pondered this in your hearts? Is it because I have long been silent that you do not fear me? I will expose your righteousness and your works, and they will not benefit you when you cry out for help. Let your collection of idols save you. The wind will carry all of them off a mere breath. But the man who makes me his refuge will inherit the land and possess my mountain. So despite the bitterness and bondage ensuing from their ungodly life, the people of Judah were too much infatuated to forsake it. He said, give it up. And you're like, I can't stop doing this. I'm just going to go ahead and continue. And sometimes that carries over into our lives. I've had this, excuse me if you're Italian, this Italian temper, and it's always there. No. There's a Jesus temper. That's supposed to come in. We cannot continue to use those things, our shortcomings, our past failures. He understands them, but he also wants to work us out of those things by giving us a clear hope that our lives can change. Along with that, in Jeremiah 18, you know the story about the potter's wheel. Jeremiah goes down watching, and something happens. And, oh, okay, I'm going to change the shape of this thing. So right after that, the Lord says, look, I'm preparing a disaster for you, devising a plan against you, so turn from your evil ways, each of you, and reform your ways and your actions. Isn't that hope? Hey, turn from your ways. But they'll reply, it's no use. We will continue with our own plans. Each of us will follow the stubbornness of his evil heart. You can't change me, God. You may feel like he can't change you. You may feel like that thing will never be gone out of your life. But if it is against God's principles, there is hope in the Scripture for overcoming it. We just need to see it. We need to allow our minds to be washed, to be renewed, so that we can see and hear what God has. And the clearer that we see it, the more faith and trust arises out of our hearts. All right, I almost skipped a verse. Genesis 45. I like this one. This is when the brothers went back from Egypt to tell their dad, hey, Joseph's in Egypt and he's ruler over everything. And they came and told him, said, Joseph's alive, he's governor over the land. Jacob's heart fainted because he didn't believe him. He's like, stop your lies, guys. Stop it. So he probably just went off, and they're starting to tell him everything. When he saw the wagons, Yeah, Joseph had sent some wagons so that they could. Something about just seeing the wagons clicked everything into place. He said, let's go! Nothing hidden anymore. God can do that in a heartbeat. He did it with them. And Jacob got to see his son. We have hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, which we've already looked at. The Word of God brings hope in multiple areas. Psalm 119:49. Remember fervently the word and promise to your servant, in which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort and consolation in my affliction. Your word has revived me and given me life. His promises, being able to see him. He says, in my affliction, I've got comfort. I know you're there in spite of what's going on. I don't know exactly what went through Joseph's mind with everything happened to him. It's just hard when you're doing your best, you're rising up, and all of a sudden you get shot down, accused falsely. You go and you help the jailer, and he sets you up, and hey, guys, this is what's going to happen. It happened. Remember me, and you're forgotten. It gets old. It really does. And in our lives, sometimes it could just be a short time that we have little things happening. It's like, nobody appreciates me. Nobody does. Nobody understands. God understands. He wants to help you in the area that you're struggling in. Romans 15:4. All that was written of old has been written for our instruction so that we may always have hope through the power of endurance and encouragement which the Scriptures afford. And may God, the giver of power of endurance and of that encouragement, grant you to be in full sympathy with one another in accordance with the example of Jesus Christ, so that with oneness both of heart and voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Word of God has been written for our instruction, that we can have hope through the power of endurance and encouragement of these Scriptures. We got to be in them to get them. And just asking God to deal with us, to make it clear, give me an understanding heart. Now, I've already quoted 2 Peter, first chapter. So, why talk about hope? Summarizing here, you can't have faith unless you hear the hope. And it means more than hearing it with your ears. There's, in Matthew, the 13th chapter, talks about the different types of soil. And it says that the people of Israel, their hearts are fat. They've closed their ears, they've shut their eyes, lest they should hear and be converted, and I should heal them. we can shut our hearts off to hearing from God. Because we want to continue our own way. You say, oh, I would never do that. I've already done it, so don't tell me nobody out here has. Because I'm not the only one. I've got the same failures everybody else has. Some stronger, some weaker. But we've all got something that God wants to deal with, and so we need to hear his hope clearly. And this, probably step on some toes here, the area of healing. I personally believe that if we have faith, we have the healing. If we're not healed, we didn't have the faith. Because it says if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll move that mountain. Well, if you can move a mountain with that tiny little bit, what about healing? And so we can either say, well, no, I'm just going to keep believing. I'm believing. Or we can say, God, what am I missing here? I see this truth, but something either needs to be worked out, because of what has happened with a lot of people. I had all the faith in the world for that, and it didn't happen. If you had all the faith in the world, you'd have done some mighty powerful things. So we have these sayings and things in our head that we need to get out of our heads and just be able to see his word. Because some of the people that have done that, they've hardened their heart towards God. Well, he didn't heal me. And I had all the faith in the world that he would heal me, and he didn't. Why is God like all of a sudden the heart is turning against God? And it's because we don't have a clear insight into what he needs to do in our lives. We need to become prisoners of hope. Abraham, I'm just about done. Abraham believed in against hope, believed in hope. That means naturally, it says he looked at his own body, 100 years old. I look at mine, 71 years old. It can't do the same things I used to do when I was 25. But he's looking at the fact that I can't have kids. I'm just a little bit too old for that. And Sarah, my wife, she's goner too. But against the natural hope, he had a hope that drove him on, that he believed in. God said it. Let me turn to Hebrews 6, verse 17 through 20, and then I'll close up. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, the unchangeableness, confirmed it by an oath, that by two unchangeable things, in which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation or encouragement, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil, whither the forerunner for us has entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. As we take a look at the hope set before us, what he's wanting us to see, he gave a hope, but he's inserting his character, his heart into it. He's saying, I'm giving you everything I won't lie. And here's two examples of it to just put the stamp on the thing. So that we could have a strong consolation, encouragement to keep hold of that anchor that goes in the veil. And then the book of Hebrews goes on because it talked about the promise and the oath and how those two things. But then it goes on to talk about the oath of Melchizedek and how he's a much better guarantee of this new covenant. And so he's still talking about oaths. He's still saying, look what I'm giving you. So why in the world do you feel like I'm just going to drop you like a person that doesn't know how to hold a baby up? Oh, you sinned. I'm not dealing with you. There are people that still struggle with the fact that he loves you as you are if you have become one of his kids. And it's because he wants to open up your eyes to see the hope that he's given you so that, man, you grab a hold of that thing going into the veil. Nothing is going to let go because it's Jesus on the other end. And he's the one that's given us promises on how to live our lives. You struggling? Come to him. He's the God of hope. We need it in more areas than just salvation. We're living in a world, war in Iran, uncertainty. What's going on in the world? Politics, upheaval. You know, I'm just glad we watch TV, but we don't watch the news. I don't hear a whole lot. I didn't even know about that until Kirk mentioned it. I live in my own little bubble. I'm happy in that bubble. And I know that God has everything under control anyhow. Amen. Stand with me, please. I'd like to just pray and close this out. Heavenly Father, please cause us to continue to grow in seeing the clarity of your word bringing hope, and that hope bringing an understanding and bringing faith rising up in our hearts, that we might become everything that you desire for us to be, to walk as you desire for us to walk. In Jesus' name, amen.